This podcast is part of a special series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine.
Welcome to a policy podcast brought to you by Science Magazine. Are mood disorders like depression and bipolar disorder increasing their toll on individuals and on society? Hans Ulrich Ritschen certainly thinks so. His editorial, The Burden of Mood Disorders, appears in our October 5th issue.
The most important message is that we do not find during the past two decades that these mood disorders has actually increased. Approximately 10% of the general population every year suffers from episode of a mood disorder.
Okay, so it's not an increase in the number of people, but there's an increase in the burden of mood disorder?
The burden, exactly. This is what is indeed remarkable. So when we talk about the burden, what does it mean? The burden is a concept where we not simply look at the number of people that develop a depressive episode, but we look into the question of how long they experience these depressive episodes. Are the consequences of the depressive episodes more severe? Are the complications arising from this disease more complex? And are the socioeconomic and societal constellations that are developing as a result of this disease in any way different from the past? And here we see a dramatic increase of the burden that cannot be explained exclusively by improved measurements of science looking into that.
How can we explain the increased burden?
Well, one of the most salient explanations that we see in the literature is that we assume that the complexity of our life in today's societies has tremendously increased, which means even minor disturbances in mental health can have dramatic influences on things like work performance, as an example.
And if we do get good enough at diagnosing these disorders early, are the current treatments and the drugs that we have good enough?
It's very hard to say. Clearly, our current methods of treating mood disorders are imperfect, but they are reasonably effective. But we struggle actually with another obstacle, which is basically we talk about a disorder where the person has to express themselves. You can't diagnose depression by looking at a person. You don't have a biomarker test to say, yes, this is depression. You have to ask the person as a clinician. And as you can imagine, for the vast majority of the primary care system is so overburdened with other disease management programs that the accuracy of proper recognition and diagnosis of depression is still miserable, even in countries that have invested a lot of money to improve it. And that leads in the first place to the situation that every second person with a depression in Europe, with very established and broad healthcare system, is not even recognized and diagnosed. And that is probably the largest effect where you can say, our system doesn't work pretty well, and the needs of the patients are not covered by the systems we have currently implemented. The second problem is that even though a person might be diagnosed, the resources to treat them are simply not there. Given the current financial crisis, many countries actually have failed to respond to this challenge of our next century by extending proper recognition, diagnosis, and treatment program for mood disorders.
What would you like to see change exactly?
Well, I think from a public health perspective and taking into account the limited financial resources that we have, I think we should emphasize in treatment research and clinical research really the search of how can we prevent the occurrence of a depressive episode in the first place. And in this respect, there have been a number of very encouraging attempts to identify the precursor disorders for depression in adolescence and young adulthood and treat these precursor conditioning in the first place in order to prevent that the first episode is actually occurring. If you would do that systematically, and the advantage is that things like anxiety disorders, for example, as the most prevalent precursor condition, can be treated with minimal investment of time, energy, and professional resources effectively. So by implementing such early targeted treatment and preventive trials for depression, we could lower the burden of depression most likely dramatically.
Great. Professor Witchin, thank you very much. Read Professor Witchin's editorial in Science This Week. I'm Meghna Suchdev. On behalf of Science Magazine and our publishers AAAS, thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to a policy podcast, part of a series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine. The full Science podcast is released Thursdays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.